I looked it up on YouTube, a couple of Jewish people pronouncing it for me, and it's just I, all right? They said pronounce it like E-Y-E, so that's what I want to do. I'm not going to call it A-I anymore. I'm going to call it I. Anyway, they went to take I, and they failed. Remember, they lost. They were trampled down. 30-some soldiers were killed. And it turned out there was sin in the camp, which God said, you have to remove the sin, and then I'll be with you again. So they did remove the sin. They're in chapter 7. And what does God say here in verse 1? Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. I'm with you again. Amen? And that's what brings us to chapter 8. So take all the people of war with thee, arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho, and her king only, the spoil thereof, and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say they flee from before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be when ye have taken the city that ye shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I've commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, and he and the elders of Israel before the people of Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai, and he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the hosts that was on the north of the city and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. It came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at the time appointed, before the plain. But he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not after Israel, and they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side, and they smote them, so that they let none of them remain or escape. The king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. It came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field and the wilderness wherein they chased them, and they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. The king of Ai, he hanged on the tree until eventide, and as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel on Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel, and all their elders and officers and their judges, stood on this side of the ark, and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, and he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So I've entitled tonight's message, God Uses Planning. And I'll explain here in a few moments. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would learn tonight, we would grow through your word, that you would guide us. And we thank you for this amazing story. And we thank you for the many lessons, Lord, that we can draw from Israel's experience. And just pray that that will happen yet again tonight. May you get the glory. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So as we saw, once they dealt with the accursed thing, once they got the sin removed, God was with them again. We know this is true in our Christian life, isn't it? If we deal with the sin, God points it out through his word, we deal with it, his presence is back. God never leaves us or forsakes us, but he will not empower us unless the sin gets dealt with. Like we saw last week, those many verses, Isaiah 59 especially, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and so forth. So, we're in the promised land now, which is a victorious Christian life. God wants us to take Ai, this city. We need to take it by faith. And they could have hesitated. I mean, they just lost the battle. They could have said, Lord, you know, we just lost. Are you sure you want us? But they didn't. They said, God's with us. Let's go. And God promised them in verse 2, thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho. Now the difference is, God did not say, march around it and I'm going to flatten the walls. He said, no, this time you've got to go and you've got to fight. And yes, God gave them some instruction, but he didn't give them a battle plan, did he? He left that up to the general, Joshua. And we can learn, I believe, from that God is going to give us the city. But he's going to let us come up with a plan to execute his will. I mean, he gave us intelligence, right? He gave us a brain to think and to come up with ideas and plans and to set goals. And that's exactly what happened here. He said, I'll give you the city and, yeah, go behind the city. But after that, he left the rest up to Joshua. And he came up with this plan. He was going to use what had happened before against the city to say, they'll think that they're beating us again, which will draw all the soldiers out. You just read it. And then once they are out, the group that's hiding behind will burn up the city and we'll have them surrounded. And that's exactly what happened. And they destroyed every single person in the city of Ai. You know, if you look at Proverbs 13:19, God teaches us that he did give us intelligence. He did give us the ability to plan and to set goals, even little ones. And God says here that when we make goals and when we make plans and when we fulfill them, that it's a blessing to us, isn't it? Look what it says. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. I'm sure that's true for you as it is for me. We're all different, but we all have gone through times in our jobs and in our lives where we have a plan, we have something that needs to get done. We lay out our desires, we talk to God about it, but we put a plan together, maybe a list or whatever. And when we finish it, it's satisfying, isn't it? As the young people like to say all the time, this is very satisfying. It is. God says so himself, that when we have a desire, when we go accomplish it, it is sweet to the soul. You know, when Jesus was on earth, if you go to Luke 9:51, I just want to give you a couple of examples. Jesus always had this final goal that the disciples often didn't understand, and that was to end up in Jerusalem, where he had many, many enemies, as we all know. Notice Luke 9, down in verse 51, it says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Now, the disciples at that time thought that really wasn't a good idea. Why would that be? Well, he has enemies there, and sure enough, he got there, and what happened? He got falsely accused, he got attacked, he ultimately got crucified. But that was God's plan. You know, the Apostle Paul did the same thing. Look at Acts chapter 19. Later on in Paul's ministry, after he had been used of God to plant many churches, Paul also had a goal. And that goal was to go to the same city. Look at it. "After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome." I need to go to Jerusalem. Well, later on, he gets warned by a prophetess, don't go. If you go, they're going to imprison you. They're going to bind you. And what does he say? "I'm going to Jerusalem. If I die, I die, and I go to heaven. But this is God's will. I'm going." And he set his face and he went. And sure enough, he did get captive, right? And eventually appealed to Caesar. And what? He planted a church you've probably heard of, the Church of the Romans. Aren't you thankful he went to Rome? Where would we be if Paul had not gone to Rome? This was God's plan. But the other disciples along the way, and even prophets, said, if you go to Jerusalem, and the prophet was speaking the truth, you're going to end up in prison. You're going to end up bound. That's exactly what happened. But Paul said, so be it. God wants me to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to Jerusalem. If they bind me, so be it. So God said to Joshua, take your soldiers, take Ai, take the city of Ai. And then Joshua came up with this fancy plan, didn't he? He was a good general, a good war fighter, if you will. And they won, and you know what? They went on to win city after city after city. Joshua, as their general, he had many colonels and majors and so forth, but he was the boss, he was the general, and he laid out the battle plans. And once the battle plan was in place and things were happening, verse 18, God said, so God then spoke to Joshua and said, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward I, for I will give it into thine hand. He said, now's the time. Stretch out the spear. It's time to attack. So we often look at things like this and say, well, who's winning the victory here? These men are fighting. They've got their swords. They're literally sword fighting, hand-to-hand combat. So who's winning the victory? Because God says, I will give you the city. And so we must always remember that there's going to be battles. There's going to be sword fights. Amen? And what should we do? We should fight with all that we have. But make sure that you're fighting God's battle so that God's in it And if that's true, you will win. You know, God, why? Why didn't God just say, I'll tell you what, I'll knock down that city's walls, and I'll knock down the next city's walls, and I'll knock down the next. He didn't do that, did he? Could he have done that? Of course, he's God. Well, he could have, before they even crossed the Jordan River, he could have just sent down fire and brimstone and killed every inhabitant of the promised land, so they could have just walked in and taken it. But they had to fight for every single city except Jericho. Don't forget that. There's a lot of victories God wants you to win in your Christian life. There's a lot of things God wants you to take in His name. And you might have to lay out some plans to make it happen. But make sure that as you do, that you're moving forward in God's will. And that's the key here. God told Joshua to go. God told them to go fight. God told them to ambush the city. And then they laid out a plan. And sure enough, verse 26, they destroyed all the inhabitants. They obeyed God's word while carrying out their plan, didn't they? Because He said, I want you to destroy every inhabitant. Now, it might sound harsh, but that was God's will. Remember how much trouble Samuel got into for not obeying that one command. He was told to kill everything that breathed, and they didn't do it. And that's why he lost his kingship. And that's where we get that famous verse, to obey is better than sacrifice, and so forth. So what is the first thing Joshua did after they won? He didn't say, look at me, I'm an amazing general. He said, let's build an altar. And let's give God the glory. Amen? He gave us intelligence. He's okay with us making plans as long as we consult Him first and make sure that they are in His will. And if that be the case, then we will win the battle. But when we do win the battle, we can't stop and say, look at me, I won the battle. We need to stop and say, look what God did. He won the battle. And Joshua took the whole thing, even though he did an amazing job militarily. He said, we're going to give God the glory for accomplishing this victory. Amen? And that's how it needs to always be in our Christian lives. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, what? Do all to the glory of God. He said, yes, we took Ai. Yes, we had a plan. We executed the plan. We took the city. Everybody's dead, like God commanded. Let's give God the glory. Amen? And then, he didn't stop there. Verse 32, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law, meaning that the word of God's supposed to be part of it too. Amen? But that's not where he stopped. Imagine how long it would take to read aloud the entire book of Exodus, some of Leviticus, and the entire book of pretty much the entire book of Deuteronomy. I wonder how long that would take. Well, that's what they did. They read all the words of the law. Verse 35, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not. So here's this great general, executes this amazing military victory over the city of Ai. What's he do? First, they build an altar and make sacrifices unto the Lord so that God gets the glory. And then they take it would have taken a day, just like in Nehemiah. Then they take a day and literally read the entire law to the people. And what is he saying? Everything that we do is going to be in accordance with God's word. Amen? And you and I need to have that same attitude. Yes, God will let us fight, but we need to fight His battles, the ones He tells us to fight. We need to take the cities He tells us to take. And when we win that battle, we need to give Him the glory, and we need to go back to the word for direction about the next battle that we are to fight. Where is it? Yes, he read before the congregation, verse 35, all the congregation. So everybody was there. A couple million people were there listening to Joshua read every single word of the law. So are we to make plans? Of course we are. But where do we start? We need to start in here. Amen? Let's see some verses on that. Look at Psalm 25, verse 4. And so the Christian life is always a balance. You know, just like Jesus prayed, he said, Lord, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Well, that's a balance, isn't it? He said, Lord, I don't pray that you remove them all and put them up on a mountaintop, because then they can't be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But I pray that you keep them from the evil. So we're always walking that balancing line, aren't we, between not being of the world, but reaching out to the world and interfacing with the world so we can reach it for Christ. Here's another balance between making plans and fulfilling those plans, but making sure that they're always in accordance with what God wants. So, yeah, let's look at some. David understood this, Psalm 25, 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. So every day, this is what we need to be asking. Lord, what's the next city? What's the next battle? And once God points that out, he's okay with you putting together a battle plan, but he's going to be with you. But if you go off and fight a battle that he didn't endorse, well, now you're in trouble, you see. Let's look at another one, Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee, this is God speaking, and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Well, God doesn't speak to us audibly like he did Joshua. He speaks to us through this book. So as we make our plans, as we seek the next city to take, whatever that might be spiritually in your life, make sure you're in here consulting God. Let's look at another one, Psalm 143, 8. And God will use this book like nothing else on earth to direct and guide us to the next battle. And then, yeah, God will let us set up a battle plan. Psalm 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Isn't that good? Cause me to know the way. And of course, we all know Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path. Amen. So that's what Joshua was saying to the people. Yes, we took this city. Praise God for the victory. It sounds like they didn't lose one of their own soldiers in this battle. I think God would have recorded it if they had. Imagine taking a city like that and having no losses. That's because God was in it. Amen? He was in the battle, but he was also allowed Joshua to put together this amazing plan. And then he said, okay, put your spear up and win. And they did. So God gets the glory afterward. And then what? Back to the book. Joshua says, let's stop before we go to city number three. Let's just remind ourselves who's in control. Let's take a day and read the entire law. I thought they were standing the whole time, but maybe I lost that. I thought that they were all standing for that, but maybe I'm confusing it with Nehemiah when they read the book of the law. Anyway, he read it to the entire nation, right? It says, all the congregation with the women and the little ones and the strangers. Because there were people that traveled with them who weren't Jews, but they were converts to Judaism along the way, that said, your God is the God of the universe. We want to go with you. Whatever we need to say, we'll say it, but we want to be part of you. And they had these strangers that traveled with them as well. Make plans, but do it in God's will. Amen. And consult this book every day for direction. Right? Most of you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not what unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he, then what, shall direct thy paths. So he's not going to direct our paths unless we acknowledge him first. which is exactly what Joshua's doing here. They're going to have another city and another city and another city. Let's stop. Let's build an altar. Let's give God the glory for what he just did through this battle. And let's be reminded about the book. Let's read the whole thing. I can't even try to imagine how long that took to read all of that, but at least some hours to read all of Exodus, most of Leviticus, all of Deuteronomy. So God does use planning. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. But let's be careful that our plans are in accordance with God's plans. Amen? Commit thy works unto the Lord, Proverbs 16:3, and thy thoughts shall be established. So it's okay. God allows us to make plans. He allows us to make battle plans. But don't make battle plans to take a city that God never even told you to take. That's what I'm saying. Make sure it's where he's directing you. And then, yeah, put a plan together and watch God win. And make sure he gets the glory once you do win. And make sure you keep coming back to this each time for the direction of the next city to take, which they did. Isn't God wonderful? How he gave us intelligence. He gave us a free will. He allows us to make our own plans, and yet he promises to be with us and never leave us nor forsake us. And he promises, as we read, to guide us. How beautiful is that? God does use planning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful truth, this picture of you allowing your people to put plans together once they know what your will is and how you bless those plans. And Lord, I know we have a lot of battles to fight till Jesus comes. And as we do, may we make sure there are the battles that you want us to fight. And then may we fight them in your power, your strength, and continually consult your word for direction each step of the way. And give you the glory for every victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory.